Everything all right?
No, I'm okay.
Sure.
You've got to be fucking shitting me. No, I'm okay. Give me one second.
Okay. All right.
So, it's fantasy football stuff.
Are you finally losing a game?
So here's the thing is, I have there's one person. I'm second in the league now.
Oh my god.
It's insulting. There is somebody the other person who's in first. I'm going up against her. She's undefeated.
Okay.
I only play her once. She has steamrolled everybody.
Are you beating her?
Currently, but the problem is I have one person left to play, and it's my star guy, my quarterback. Okay. He's supposed to be destroying right now. He's not doing like anything at all, and he just got taken off the field.
Oh.
Five of her people play tomorrow. Oh. As it stands right now, it's 50-50.
Oh.
If he doesn't do anything, she's going to win. And have no, there's going to be no chance of defeat.
Well, do you guys have like a playoffs or something? Or is it just like highest score at the end of the season?
That I don't know, honestly. Okay. my quarterback.
I love that you don't even know the rules of the fucking league.
To put it into context, every single week this guy has put up at least 23 points. Except for the first week, he only put up 9. But outside of that, he's been doing great and destroyed 2 weeks ago. At the half, he's only got 2 points on the board.
Oof. Does she still have people to play?
She's got 5 tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
That's what's fucking me up.
Good luck.
This is my last chance to get to get something going on. Because if he doesn't put up...
You need to not win, Neil. You need to not win. I keep telling you this. You're going to get, like, hazed if you win. Like, shit, man.
I know.
Second place is great. Great. People will be like, oh, nice job. And you'll be like, yeah. And then you can get them next year because you've earned their respect. First year, first place, don't know shit about football. They're going to kill you, man. They're going to kill you.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah with Old Man Gaming. Ladies and gentlemen, for whatever reason, you have decided to listen to another Horrible Gaming Podcast. But I am not alone. Normally, I am never alone. With me is...
Neil, aka Tiny Wizard.
And we got a show for you guys. We're going to talk about some stuff.
It does exist.
You know, we do end up coming back to Sonic a lot on this show. And today we're coming back to Sonic again because I think for the first time ever we've had a 2D Sonic review worse than a 3D Sonic in like the history of the franchise, if I recall. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're just going to discuss it, where the future of the franchise goes, and maybe talk about other stuff like this or in this area. But before we get into that, of course, we've got to thank the people who have made this show possible. Behind our ugly mugs, you're seeing a fancy graphic that is provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And then, of course, the theme song for this show and all shows here at Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother, Nick Van Siders. We thank him for that. Top of the show plug. Sorry, guys. It's still new. I got to throw it out there, and I'm going to definitely do it at the end of the show, too. If you're a tabletop role-playing game player and you're watching this show and you're interested in a new tabletop role-playing game, I just released one from my role-playing game company, Axiom Games LLC. You can find it on itch.io, and it is only $6. It is single mod. It is a rules light system with multiple character creation build options and a simple, quick, brutal combat system. All right, that out of the way, let's get into fan interaction.
Horrible Horrible Gaming Podcast.
That brings us to our first segment, ladies and gentlemen, our most important segment, that is Fan Interaction. That's where we, the co-hosts, talk to you guys, the fans. We answer your questions in all the places you read them, all the places we see them. So, first and foremost, we've got Philbilly 330 RKO, because we're talking about Randy Orton and the Elden Ring.
Oh yeah,
the Elden Ring thing, which I sent you that video of him just punting people in the head for two straight minutes.
No, Randy, don't.
Yeah, no. I love when they cut into his face and he was just all like looking just totally insane afterwards too, like serial killer face. I love that. All right. And then we have Phil again, at Neil. In D&D, each race has an uncustomizable plus or minus to specific stats. Parentheses, X half-orcs have plus 2 strength, plus 1 con. In BG3, you can literally put your plus 2 and plus 1 anywhere you want, meaning you can easily make a half-orc wizard if you want with super high intelligence. So I would argue it is not just like D&D, but a very homebrew D&D system for the better. Also, the only enemies on the ship that were above your level were the Mind Flayer and the Cambion.
During that encounter with trying to get to the control thing. Well, now you know what that I was talking about.
Yeah, you were excited. They gave you 15 turns because they expected you to kill the Devil Boar's imps before going to the console. I'm glad you enjoy it, though. Mm-hmm. But what system are you on? The only reason I ask is I haven't had any bugs at all. I'm almost in Act 3, or maybe it's just because of split screen. But I have played multiplayer over the internet. You can all make your own characters up to 4 players at a time. I did respond to this. It's the split screen from what I've heard. It really chugs on any system. Not online, just the split screen. Neil is only playing on split screen.
Mm-hmm. Split screen on the PS5.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I've not encountered anything that has just been to the point to where it's like, oh dear God, I can't do this anymore. But I think that's just because I'm enjoying the game so much. If it was something else to where I couldn't, like, you know, pause or anything like that or get into my save menu, I would gripe about it a bit more. But I mean, considering the Herculean task that that game is doing to run D&D 5e on on a game console.
Well, and run it in the way that it's running it.
Exactly.
We're going to probably put the bonus in. Put it in as a bonus. We had a nice, like, I want to say, like, 8-10 minute conversation about Baldur's Gate 3, because I've been playing it as well now. And I got to be honest, this is giving me Skyrim vibes. That's what I said in the bonus. Like, this game is truly a level of craftsmanship that just has not been seen in, like, 10 years. And it's, like, now
get used to it. That's not what games are going to be.
Yeah, fuck you, Obsidian, and everybody else who had any hand in that. I think that, like, to comment on the split screen, having seen just the level of detail and intricacies that this game provides, the fact that it can run on split screen is kind of a technical achievement in itself. And I know I usually don't give passes to bugginess or whatever, but just like what this game is, to also be able to do that is fucking insane to think. And I didn't know it was 4 players at a time until I read his comment. Like, I knew that there was the co-op, but like, damn, it's just insane to think that you can, like, just basically play a party of characters. You know what I mean? Like, just totally insane to think about that.
And you know what's wild? I think before I had played this game, I would have straight up and down pointed directly to Tears of the Kingdom and said that this is my game of the year. But this game right there with it.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm definitely having a tough spot. Because if we keep the rules the same, we only get to nominate 3 games for each category.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fucking doozy.
I have like 7 on my list I keep marking ones off and putting them back on. It's very hard. I know for a fact Remnant 2 is gonna be on my list, but like, it's going to be hard not to put this one in, you know. And as good as all those other games are, like, I just don't think I could put Dave the Diver on instead of this, you know. Like, it's tough. Moving on, Jason. I sadly finished Cocoon, so my brain is back. Some people, he then continues, some people just like to see the world burn. They ain't going to stop to ponder how much their fun is going to affect anyone else. Also, we all know the reptilians that did 9/11 to break up the alliance between the Greys and the Shadow People. Okay, all right. Gonna leave that one alone. But yeah, I don't disagree. I think there is a lot of, like, high-level selfishness in a CEO in the games industry. They very rarely consider anybody else. And, yeah, the other thing is that that's why the only way to get to them is take their money away, but they've made it so impossible to take their money away, you know? Like, it's the biggest problem with the games industry. There's no real refund policy. All the money that they get from the games are usually gotten before the game is even out. Like, it's nearly impossible to take their money away, you know? And with no refund policy, you can't take their money away without playing. You know what I mean? You don't know if it's a good game until you play it. So somebody's got to play it. So somebody's going to give them the money. You know, it's just a terrible situation. Jason then hits us with another big one. In Shadowrun, parentheses, at least the editions I played, many corporate workspaces have at least a minor background static in the astral plane. Parentheses, a warping in the astral plane that makes magic harder to utilize due to the absolute negativity of corporate life. Considering Shadowrun was already flirting with post-cyberpunk in 2nd edition and 3rd edition, was pretty much halfway there, I wouldn't be surprised if it's full-on happy fun times by now. I don't know how to get into that. Never played Shadowrun. I am aware of it, but yeah.
Same.
Then we have another Jason. The frequency at which DBD, Dead by Daylight, goes on a 30 to 50% add-on sale makes the prices for licensed DLC play to me. The 9,000 share price, parentheses, and even the 45 during the anniversary and Halloween character half-price sales is still insane. But the cosmetics are nuts, parentheses, and I've even bought a few of them. Chris character overlay for Leon, James overlay for Cheryl, and the pig's black leather biker outfit, Pinhead's Hell Priest robes. $10 to $15 for an outfit. 21,600 shards for most new non-premium outfits. 7,200 per piece are both insane. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre prices are just that much more insane, especially since the new characters are going to be either non-canon or semi-canon. Survivors are all non-canon, while Johnny and Sissy are both loosely based on characters cut from the script. Combined with TCM's other issues, putting out the price table was beyond stupid. And yeah, I think, again, it speaks to a level of insensitivity, right? Like, not only do you not have a premium currency to be earned in-game to get these characters, it's a flat fee, period, but this price table was released when you were having so many issues that you had to shut down crossplay, which is back up, but go fuck yourself, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You burned me, man. And I don't feel like getting unburned anytime soon. I've got other games to play. You're not going to be on my list after all the shit you've put me through. You also have a ton of balancing issues, which I hear you're fixing, but you have it. So then to just go ahead and drop a fucking price table on people that you absolutely have to pay no matter what in a game where you can't play the same character. It's not like Dead by Daylight where everybody can play the same survivor in a match. You can only play one of each character, both survivors and killers. You can't have any duplicates. So could you imagine when they release one character and everybody buys that character? Mm. Only one person is going to get to play that character every round. That's ridiculous. It's stupid. And you're putting a $10 fee on it. It's just, there's so many things wrong. with the price table. And it can't, it just can't not irk me in some way, shape, or form. Yep.
I was just going to say, I mean, we spoke at length. In fact, we keep going over stuff like this all the time. We spoke about it, like, the very predatory way that they, even just the pricing of everything, let alone the fact that you got to get lucky enough to be the only person or the ones with the fastest fingers to pick the character that's like, or the skin that's like the popular one at that point in time.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. All right. And then finally, William Hoon. Hi! Exclamation point. Well, on the TMNT video, you really don't need to watch the 42 minutes of it. With what you've watched, it's enough to know that it what it plays like. Parentheses. And I'm still playing it, by the way. Even watching the 2003 animated show right now. Hell yeah. And reading the IDW comics. Oh, Will, I'm deep into the TMNT right now, and I am enjoying it greatly. And wow, I have nothing to say this time. Anyways, thanks for the show. Parentheses, all podcasts are a lot of talking.
That's true.
This is true. Dude, so happy you're in the TMNT. If you ever want to chit-chat TNT, hit me up, because I actually have this one friend. I don't know if he listens to this show. I don't think he does, but his name's Joe Monastra. We just talk about TMNT most of the time. Like, every so often, we'll be like, hey, look at this piece of TMNT news, you know? So, like, yeah, I love TMNT. They are easily my favorite superheroes, easily my favorite comic books. I have the original Eastman run in this kind of color classics giant hardcover, and then I have all of the first 50 issues of the original IDW run, and then I have a bunch of the side projects that they did while that run was going on. I do not have anything more after that because I stopped collecting comic books. It was the only book I was still collecting. I just didn't want to waste the money anymore. And it's not that it was a waste. The turtles are good. It's just like, comics run their course at some point, and the people who do the comics never switch stuff over. I've said it a million times. Bruce Wayne is somehow an eternally 30-year-old character with 5 grown children who are 10 years age apart. Like it just, like, they never move on. You know, they never change. But yeah, TMNT, I love that IDW run. Actually, I'm reading it to my kid right now, which admittedly was probably a mistake, but I am reading it to her right now, and she's actually loving it. We also just watched the most recent movie that Seth Rogen did, which I actually really liked. They did a lot of very weird, different things with it, but anybody who knows TMNT deeply knows that TMNT literally has its origin changed every time that it comes out. Like, it's just like Eastman and Lard were working out of their garage, so anybody who showed up with a paycheck got to use Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's why the original show was so happy and dorky and kiddie sort of stuff, when the comic book was like ultra violent. Because they just, anybody who showed up with money, they're like, sure, you do whatever you want. So like, they were really loose with their licensing. And the 2003 Nickelodeon series, also phenomenal. Sean Ashton does Raphael. Jason Biggs does a season of Leonardo. It really good story, really good all the way down. Every episode of that is good, no matter what age you are. I loved that series, and I watched all of that series. So there you go. I think that's it. Anything you got to add to any of that there, Neil?
No Baruni, no.
All right, well, we'll be right back. We're going to talk everybody's favorite blue hedgehog. And by everybody, I mean just us. Just us.
Only us.
I don't think anybody else likes these episodes.
Probably not.
No. It's like, oh, they're talking about Sonic again. Oh, man. Quick, turn something else on.
Turn the news.
Oh, man. All right, we'll be right back.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our talking point. A talking point that Neil is very upset about. Very upset about.
Because we never learn.
So I'm going to go ahead and let Neil lead.
Disappointment is a cycle.
I think I'm going to let Neil lead on this one.
All right. So, so the reviews are coming out for the Sonic Superstars, and this was something that I was already grumping about whenever they first announced it, because it has not really done – it didn't present what I wanted it to present. And I believe I had said at the time that it looked like the last real shit time they tried to do something like this was the Sonic the Hedgehog 4. And lo and behold, it's basically Sonic the Hedgehog 4. I don't know what Sega is doing here. They're trying to keep the 3D and the 2D Sonic separate, but they keep making the same mistakes. The same exact mistakes that have been made with Sonic 4, Sonic the Hedgehog 4, were made here. They look nearly identical. The one thing that Sonic is known for, speed, is not there. It's just... it looks like he's moving fast, but he's not. I don't know if the tech can't keep up with it or what, but speed is not a thing. And then from there, one of the main complaints that that seems like it's been leveled, and I can honestly see it, is how bosses are very much just avoid this very long telegraphed series of things occurring, so that the boss can either hit himself or just give you a window of 2 seconds to do something, to make bosses take like 6-7 minutes long. It's one of the worst things you could possibly do in a Sonic game. It's like the absolute antithesis of speed. Even the Chaos Emeralds, what they want to do with them in like giving superpowers effectively, doesn't seem to really be utilized in such a way that makes sense for a Sonic game. And I'm just over here confused as all get out, because the last time we had a new 2D Sonic game was Sonic Mania, which was impeccable by 2D Sonic standards. And as you had mentioned, this is the first 2D Sonic game that has reviewed lower than a 3D one, in Sonic Frontiers having come out last year, being an open world Sonic game built around speed, which had a great foundation, mm-hmm. not necessarily perfect in all ways, mm-hmm. of course, but had an absolutely fantastic foundation there and gives it something to build towards. Whereas Sonic Superstars is, well, we know you guys like 2D Sonic, so here it is, but we don't want to do it how the fans want it. Like, they straight up have said that they wanted to avoid this whole, they wanted to avoid the pixel art thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they made the conscious choice to give us what it was that they gave us. So I don't know. We've had this conversation before about what can and can't translate into 3D and how they do it right. I'm starting to begin to think that this is like a curse or something at this point, because we keep repeating the same mistakes.
It's really weird. I don't know if I'd say we're repeating the same mistakes, because I think it's almost worse than that. So, like, you know what? Let me take a step back. I want to respond to the things that you've said already. The iframing is one thing that I really want to talk about with the bosses. The other thing that people have put out is that the boss have tons of iframe abilities where, like, you can't hurt them, you can't damage them until, like you said, they hit themselves or they're done, and then you can do damage to them. This is a tactic to make bosses longer in a ton of different mm-hmm. games. And it goes well beyond Sonic. There are many times that me and Phil, back when we were doing State of Borderlands, that show, there was many times that me and Phil complained about iframing, because Borderlands, that was one of their favorite tricks, is, oh, you've done this much damage to us, now he's invincible for 5 minutes and you have to survive yes. until such time. And it's such a shitty parlor trick. Instead of putting, like, an actual fun mechanic in it, to where the boss is actually has something that you have to do to beat them or something. So that right there, that's poor gameplay design, period. Just the random iframing on bosses is shitty. The speed thing. I do want to say 100 before we go into this. I'm on record as saying I'm a lover of Sonic. I think we could both say that. I do not look back on the original 2D Sonic with as much love as you do, mainly because when I went back to play them as an adult, I kind of noticed it does something that I hate, whereas it tells you to do a thing and then punishes you for doing that thing. Even Sonic Mania, which is, I would definitely agree, one of the greatest 2D Sonics of all time. I'm not going to argue that point ever. It still has these moments where it's like, okay, run really fast. Oh, there's a spike. You know, like, I don't like that. I would rather there be some mechanic to run fast and not necessarily be hindered by it. Like, the whole point of games is for it to tell you to do a thing, and when you don't do the right thing, that's when you get hurt, that's when you get killed. And then the game is supposed to make it more and more challenging to do the right thing. Whereas with this, the right thing is to go fast, and often you end up going so fast, you end up going off a cliff or slamming into a spike or something like that. It's one of the things that I don't like about Sonic. However, that being said, you still can't have Sonic without speed. I would much rather them have a 2D way of fixing that issue that I have than just making them feel slow, you know? And now I get back to the why I think it's actually kind of worse than them just doing the same thing over and over again. Because, like you said, the last 2D Sonic game we had was Sonic Mania, arguably one of the best 2D Sonics ever. And then we end up repeating 4. Frontier, one of the best 3D Sonic games ever. But look at the last one that we did. It's almost like every time we learn something, we decide to go back to the old thing. You look at Sonic Adventure. Look, Sonic Adventure is by no means a perfect game. And I am sure 100% myself and everybody else who plays it looks on it with nostalgia glasses. That being said, when it did come out, it was still really awesome when it came out, given the technology that was out at that time. Does it hold up? Not really. I mean, I still have fun with it, but the facial animations are insane. The dialogue's crazy. The camera work is nuts. Like, and I've recently played it on Dreamcast. It is not the most enjoyable experience. But it was still, like, doing the right thing. It was moving itself forward in the right way from previous 3D Sonic games that had just absolutely blown. Then we went from Sonic to Sonic Adventure 2. Then we started to get all the shitty Wii ones. And then we started to get all the shitty ones after that, like the fucking nut job one on next gen with Silver, and the one where he turned into a fucking werewolf, and all those insane ones. That kind of stuff, one of my biggest issues is, like, it's not even like we're making the same mistakes. It's like we're choosing to ignore the correct decisions to make old mistakes for inexplicable reasons. Why are you making Sonic 4? You had Sonic Mania there. Why are you making Sonic 4? Like, I don't understand, you know?
That's the best way to put it. It almost feels like Sega is doing with Sonic what Nintendo does with Paper Mario. Like, they have to just change things for the sake of changing things.
It's getting
regardless if it makes sense or works.
Yeah.
Like we said, like, we already did this exact game, but we called it something else and split it up into that episode back when episodic games were like the shit. Like, we've already been down this path. We've already done this thing. Adding a couple new mechanics doesn't change that at all in its slightest. There's other things like the technical stuff about, like, the split screen or the co-op, rather. That's entirely different. That's beside itself. I'm only really focused on the meat of what these Sonic games are for the campaign.
Right.
I just don't understand what it is that they are trying to do. I think this time around, I could be wrong, but last time, Sonic Mania, the team was Christian Whitehead that did it, which he and some other people are the ones who were the Sonic fan modder community,
mm-hmm.
who were making like custom games. Then they ended up being put in charge of like the ports, bringing those games over to Android. And then from there, it's like, hey, do you guys want to make an original Sonic game? You guys are good at this.
And
it's
then
like
they got screwed over
they got
on Origins.
Screwed. They yeah. got screwed with Origins. And then from there, like, I don't think they had anything to do with this game.
No.
And it shows.
Yeah.
It straight up and down shows.
Yeah, you had a team poised and ready to do Sonic games, possibly for the rest of your lives, and have at least quality, you know, in those Sonic games, and yet you decided to go a different way. And I think the reason they went the different way is because the way Sonic took Sonic Origins and did what they did with it, I think they made the people who did the game so mad that they didn't... I think there's a rift between the two now that wasn't there before. Because if you remember, like, that company was like, oh yeah, we're doing Sonic Origins, we're going to redo everything. But then Sega delisted all the old games. Then they did all these insane pre-order stuff that didn't make sense. And if I recall correctly, one of the people, I don't know if it was Christian Whitehead, but it was one of the people from that company came out and said, we didn't know about any of this, you know?
Yep.
And then when the game came out, there was a bunch of changes in it and stuff that they had nothing to do with. So I think there's been a rift between those two companies that has kind of severed ties. That being said, I think that, like, yeah, well, it's inexplicable why we would make a game like this. And it's also knee-jerk. Like, I don't like the fact that, especially coming off of, like, right now playing one of the most well-thought-out games there is out there, and playing some of the other most well-thought-out games there is out there. Dave the Diver, Remnant 2, these games all have a lot of thought put into them. I feel like Superstars was knee-jerk. There was nothing, there was no thought put into it. Yeah, make it co-op, so you, everybody could play together. Okay, but everybody's super fast. How do we do that? Just do it. Well, should we use sprites? No. Do the 3D. Don't make it super fast. Just do it this way. I think that, like... And then I do want to go in on the sprites thing. I do want to talk about the sprites thing as well, because I feel like that's almost counterproductive. Because it's got to be more expensive to 3D render these character models than it is to stick a sprite up there animated. And they are so die hard against using sprites, to the point where when Superstars' trailer came out, everybody's like, why aren't there sprites? Why didn't you just make them sprites? It's a 2D Sonic game. And they got mad about it. Like, they went all over, like, Twitter and all the interviews, like, sprites are dead. We're not doing sprites. Stop thinking about sprites. Stop talking about sprites. And I'm just sitting here like, why? If people want sprites, they're so much cheaper and easier to do than a 3D render of Sonic. Why wouldn't you do sprites? Like, it there's a whole lot of things that I don't understand why they made these choices, you know?
And going to the 3D modeling and everything like that, when we look at that sort of stuff as well, if they wanted to get away from the sprites and everything, fine. But what they also could have done is, like I'd mentioned to you when we were briefly texting about this, is go and do like the Octopath Traveler, the HD pixel art or whatever the hell they're calling it, to where it's like beautifully rendered backgrounds, but all of like the bosses and characters
are pixels,
are like a pixel with, but it's like a 3D to where they have like shadows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You could play real well with like casting shadows or like even having like them running, like if they wanted to have something to where something's going on in the background, which is something they played around with a lot. It looks like they do in this game and they did in Sonic Mania. Make it be just a shadow cast in the background where you can see the outline and just go with that. Like, there are so many different things that can be done to still get what you want and still give people what they want.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, sure, they'll probably sell some units of this game, the diehards, everything like that. I mean, myself, I may pick it up one day when it goes on sale for like $15 or something. But I don't even know if is this a full $50 game?
I wouldn't be surprised. So. I'm going to check it out real quick while you talk.
I was going to say, yeah, I honestly wouldn't be surprised. Because this year, it feels like something that would be, to me, it presents itself as a $30 to $40 game.
It is a $60 game.
It is a $60 game. Shame on you, Sega. absolutely, like...
Yeah.
That there is nothing that I have seen to warrant that.
No.
Even when they did Sonic Mania, Sonic Mania launched at, what was it, $30?
Yeah.
I paid full retail for Sonic Mania when it came out at $30. And I felt totally fine with that. This, I could see maybe $40. Because that's kind of how much it cost if you got Sonic the Hedgehog 4, Episode 1 and 2
right.
together. I can see that. I can get that justified to some degree. $60 in no realm.
Yeah, you know, we've had discussions on worth, right?
Yeah.
On worth in games and how much something should cost. I mean, it's been a big topic of discussion between the two of us, and I would say at moments very... confrontational, even.
Diametrically opposed.
sometimes. That being said,
I feel
said,
we're pretty on par.
Yeah,
with this one. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is like, can a 2D platforming game be worth $60? 100%. 100%. But it has to have what you want in it. What's there? And from what I can see, there's nothing in this to warrant a $60 price tag. This looks like a budget platformer that's, you know, just marked up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest argument we've had on worth, right? Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest argument we've had on worth. My biggest problem with it is that there wasn't enough reason for that to be a higher price. It's on an old system. All the UIs are the same. The art's the same. A lot of the maps the same. They added a bunch of stuff to it, but that's sequel stuff. That's what you get. That's sequel stuff. Superstars, same argument, in my opinion. Like, there's no reason for this to be $60 at all. It's another 2D platformer. Is the reason because you had to 3D render Sonic? Because if that's the case, just give us sprites. At $40, man, we don't need this because we want sprites. We don't even want that. You know, there's just not enough. There's not enough there for me to say, yeah, this is definitely worth that price tag. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we've kind of covered this. I know we moved through it a little bit fast, but I think we've kind of covered this. Unless there's anything else you want to add to.
No, that'll be it, I think.
I think to cap it all off, I'm very much hoping that at some point Sega actually, like, stays the course with something that's good. You know what I mean? Like, and they never seem to do that. Anytime they have a good thing, it's like you're waiting for them to ruin it. You know? I'm waiting for Sonic Frontiers to be a fucking embarrassing nightmare. You know? To be the second one, you know, just because they had a good game and it's always fleeting with them. And I don't understand why that is. They never seem to learn from their successes, let alone their failures, you know?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be done. We're going to come back with the news, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the news. These are headlines that don't necessarily deserve a talking point, but we're just going to discuss them, going to riff on them, going to let you guys know about them. Neil's got four. Go ahead, Neil.
So we're gonna lump two of them together for this. But
so he's got three, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we'll call it three there. But we're gonna go with the first one, the big one. Of course, the Activision Blizzard deal did in fact finalize. It's real. It's done.
It's over.
Kinda. Well, I mean, a little bit of information here. Mm-hmm. Bobby Kotick is gonna be hanging around 23 just to make sure everything goes okay.
Yep. Remember that Xbox, one of their, like, when they were coming in, one of their big, like, well, we're gonna get Bobby out of there. You know, that was one of the reasons they were coming in.
We're going to get him out at his own pace.
Yep, at his own pace, whenever he wants to go. After he's done raping and sexually abusing a couple more women. Sure, go for it, Bobby. Yeah, fuck these guys, man. Fuck these guys. What I find even more funny is there was a story on IGN already speculating about who they would buy next. Like, what's next for Microsoft. I'm telling you, man, the sky's the limit now. FTC lost. This is going to be like... can be an ongoing thing. Like, I maybe not this year, but I definitely see them buying more companies, especially smaller companies. Like, without a doubt. Without a doubt, the acquisitions will not stop until Sony is dead.
Yeah, well, speaking of Sony. So, lots of stupid announcements from Sony. So, first and foremost, one of my predictions, I'm going to claim a point here for it. Sony's announced their new PS5 Slim console, and they've decided to make choices with this. So, in this past generation, there was the diskless version and the disk drive version of the PlayStation 5 at $400 and $500. Now, Sony has decided to give us an update on the Slim. The Slim is going to be 30% slimmer at this point. It's going to be lighter, smaller. There's some images of a side-by-side. It is a bit smaller. Cool. Awesome. About the size of a PlayStation 4. Still keeps the same form factor. However, it is going to be like we had reported earlier in that it is going to have a removable disk drive that you can pay for. Now, the console itself, the diskless version of the new console, is going to start at $450. It will have no improvements to the specs other than a larger storage capacity going from the 825 gigabytes to a full terabyte. Now, if you wanted a disk drive to buy the removable disk drive, it's going to cost $80. So that is then going to cost you a grand total of $530 for a slimmed down PS5 that has a little bit more memory with that that disk drive attachment. On top of that, it does not come with the vertical... That is more than the original.
That's fucking ridiculous.
And the vertical stand costs $30 as well. So if you wanted to stand that bad boy up, you're looking at $560 for what you got that's a little bit beefier. This is idiotic. Absolutely idiotic. If they wanted to do this, they should have started with that at the very beginning with the disk drive option.
Yeah.
All they're doing is slimming it down a little bit. Sure, great. There is no appeal to anybody at all who already has a PlayStation 5. Unless you have a diskless console and you've been wanting to buy discs. And honestly, if you got the digital version of the console in the first place, you don't want to buy discs.
Yeah.
Exactly. For the extra bit that you're paying, just getting the bump up in the storage of about 175 gigabytes. Sure. That's an extra game you can put on your console, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That same amount of money, you can just buy a small NVMe SSD and get yourself an extra 500 gigabytes.
Yeah.
And call it a day. To continue with the... Go ahead. Because there's more to that. But go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, man.
Well, to continue... It all at the end. Oh, yeah. To continue with the Sony lunacy, they have also announced a new set of gaming earbuds. This sounds familiar because it is. So there are the PlayStation earbuds, which are gaming earbuds specifically for the PlayStation 5. And there are the gaming earbuds, which are basically the same exact thing. My phone is blowing up right now. I'm sorry. I can't read what's going on because I keep getting notifications popping up over everything. So they're going to be the same price. They look identical to each other. They even have the PlayStation coloring to them, that black and white with that sleek design to them. Oh. But they are two totally different products for the same exact price. Along with this, on top of all of this, they have announced that in the next within the next month, they're going to allow streaming of PlayStation 5 games that you own on a PlayStation 5 console. You did not mishear me. They are going to allow streaming of PlayStation 5 games that you own on a PlayStation 5 console. So I guess if you're at a friend's house and you want to use their PlayStation and they don't have the games that you have, just like that that PlayStation Portal handheld thing is only going to stream your games on Wi-Fi in your own home, like a glorified Wii U. What in the absolute shit is happening over at Sony?
This is the kind of stuff that's just backbreaking to me. When we're talking about this, why we do these podcasts, like, just the flagrant disregard for anybody whatsoever. I know company's gonna company, and big corporations don't care about anybody, but, like, and it might just be because I'm in gaming more than I am in other things, but it just feels like a level of hatred for their own consumers in gaming that just doesn't exist, or at least that I don't see in other industries. And it's just so exhausting to report on this stuff and talk about this stuff every goddamn week. And this is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. PlayStation doing this is, and I'm talking about the pricing, it's just beyond asinine. Not to mention the fact, and on a whole nother level, this just goes to show what I've been saying for years. Sony is out of touch with what the modern consumer in gaming wants and what they want to enjoy. And you couple that with the fact that Microsoft is literally buying them out of the industry. Sony is not going to be around for much longer if they do not right the ship and right it fast. Because these announcements, just the announcement that you've said, shows how out of touch they are with the consumer base at large. The idea that they're going to sell the same system, basically the same system with slightly more gigabytes for more money than the original system, is insane. Then you add in the whole Bluetooth thing, and the streaming thing is the real capper, in my opinion. That's the thing that's like, you think that's going to put a dent? I can stream Xbox games to my phone. I can stream Steam games to my phone. And you still don't even let us stream anywhere other than your console, which we already have the games on. Like, the level of out of touch with what consumers want or what they want to enjoy is just at an all-time high. And the only thing keeping Sony around right now is the loyalists. And eventually, they will lose them too. And I mean, the loyalists won't have anything to play after a while. Sony is in serious trouble. They do not have the money to contend with Microsoft at this particular juncture. They don't have the goodwill to contend with Nintendo. And they are now in a zone where they don't have the intelligence or the forward thinking to just contend with anybody. It is sad to watch what that company is doing to itself.
Yeah, it's... I really don't know what it is that they're doing with all of this stuff. Like, just saying some of it out loud, like,
yeah,
streaming PlayStation 5 games to your PlayStation 5. Yeah. Like, it's just like, are you, did you miss a step in that? Yeah. Like, is there like, are you streaming PlayStation 5 games to your PlayStation 4?
Is it April 1st? What's like, going on here,
right,
guys?
Right, is it April 1st? Because that's the one that's just like, I don't understand.
I don't understand. Like, it just goes to show that, like, somebody in Sony heard, oh, they're into streaming now? Well, let's let them stream it to the PlayStation 5. Like, obviously you didn't do any research or look into streaming in any way, shape, or form to see what makes it popular, what people are enjoying about it, or even how to do it appropriately. I mean, especially considering you're basically selling a handheld to do the goddamn thing for an astronomical amount of money, and you're doing that so that you can avoid letting them stream it to anywhere else, you know? That company is just so out of touch. It's just so out of touch, and they're in serious trouble.
So go in here with the last one. I like to always try to end on a weird goof.
I like it.
There is an individual, named Matt Piscatella. He is like a sales analyst when looking at the game industry. Like, you know, he's one of the guys who ropes together all like the sales numbers of like what's being purchased, like total number of consoles being moved, stuff like that. And he found something extremely interesting. In September, a single brand new Wii console was sold. One in the entire US. First, what in the absolute fuck? Second, who still had a single solitary Wii U console, brand new, in stock?
Yeah, that's weird.
And then from there, somebody came along and said, yes, I would like that, please.
I mean, it's got to be a collector, right?
It's got to be a collector.
It's got to be somebody who's like, I got to have all the consoles that have ever been made.
Yes.
And that's the Wii U, so I'm going to get a new in box. I'm surprised about the new in box more than anything else, because I'm pretty sure I could walk into a CD exchange and get a Wii U. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, probably not GameStop, but, like, one of the CD game exchange, which is, like, the CD version. the dark web version of GameStop. Right. I'm sure they would have one, but to have it new in box is a little crazy to me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's... And it's like, I have no idea where it could have come from. And it had to have been a collector, because there's no other way somebody would be like, in the year of our Lord 2023, I would like your finest Wii U console, sir.
I want to play original Luigi's Mansion.
I would like to play the backwards compatible Wii games on the Wii U, please. I would not like your new Wii console, the Wii U. I would like to play it on my couch.
No Switch for me.
While my significant other watches television.
No Switch for me, which could easily do the same thing. No, no, no. I want the Wii U. All right.
But it doesn't have that crisp, clean 400p resolution.
Right. Oh, man. Okay. That's it, right? That's all the ones you got? All right. We're going to go to plugs and be done.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that brings us to the end of the show and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, hit us with your best shot.
So, I have two things. Not just one.
Dose.
We are continuing to do Redfall Down. Oh, dear God. Please make it stop.
Please.
Continuing onward. Fun fact. I meant to mention this to you. We were talking so much about the new update that shows you what's Critical Path and what's not. Before we got on to do this, unless my game has already updated and I don't know about it, the update's not available yet, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it already updated. I was trying to see when it was last updated to see if, please, for the love of all that is good and holy, we can just critical path that thing to be done with it.
We're running out of jokes.
But yeah, we are running out of jokes about it. But we are slowly trudging through that, continuing forward. But there was another thing that we did, and it was a live stream. Playing a game called Sunfish Sitting There.
Yes.
Zach, Kaylin, myself, we're playing this game with Wizard's Respite. It is a slice of life game. It is definitely not even remotely close to what I thought was going to happen in the game. To be as spoiler light as possible, an 18-year-old urinates themselves. And this was a roll that was made. So if you would like to figure out what the hell got to that point, watch that stream. In all seriousness, it was an absolute blast.
Yeah.
I had never played a tabletop game that did not have some sort of like grand quest like slaying of monsters or combating, you know, things. The only things that we were combating were personal demons.
Yeah.
And it was a very nice change of pace, and I absolutely loved the game. The game, very straightforward system. So yeah, check that out. That is definitely entertainment.
That is up. That is a tabletop role playing game. Actual play. We didn't play any video games.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't like a stream or anything.
Yeah.
Or it was a stream, but
it was a stream. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's called Sunfish Sitting There with Wizard's Respite, and then it also says with special guests Neil and Kayla. And that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a very unique experience for me as well. I mean, I've played some games that are a little bit more down to earth, but I've never had one where it's like you're just three people trying to do just some normal shit and get over your own shit. And it's really cool. It's very core, fundamental role-playing stuff. And it was a lot of fun. I also like that it's contained. You can watch it. It's about 2.5-hour stream, and start to finish, everything for these characters is kind of resolved from start to finish, and I really like that too. It was a true one shot. Redfall Down. Yes, we are continuing. it is a nightmare. We will continue to do that. That is Saturdays. In addition to that, we have plenty of TTRPGs up. I plugged my game at the top of the show. You better believe I'm going to plug it again. It's only $6. Itch.io. Please go get yourself a copy if you're a tabletop role-playing game enthusiast. I would really appreciate it. Other than that, if you're on the fence about that, I am currently doing system tours of the game and how to play the game, kind of giving you an idea of how the game plays, so that you can kind of acquaint yourself with it. You can find those on the channel. And if you want to see the game in action, bi-weekly on Wednesday, we play a little thing called Astral Drive, which is another TTRPG stream where we play that game. There are many other TTRPG stuff on the channel, but if you're watching this podcast, you might be here for gaming, and for that, we also have Let's Plays. We're currently doing some more Oregon Trail, myself and my wife on Prelude to Divorce. She is not a gamer. I am. We play. She makes fun of me. It's funny. Old man General Manager, myself and a buddy of mine, who are both wrestling fans, play book against each other in WWE 2K23. And that is also fun and kind of crazy. And then, of course, there's Redfall Down, and I do a little stream right now. Doing Age of Wonders 4 every Tuesday at 11. So we've got a lot of content, guys. Check it out. We've also got some reviews, some editorials, other podcasts, all sorts of stuff. But you can also reach us on Facebook at OmegaMDH, on Twitter at OmegaMD9. You can join our Discord from the link in the description below. You can influence this in all of our shows from there. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as long as you keep watching and listening, we'll keep making them. We'll see you guys next time. some of my big regrets were going to be not finishing games that I want to because they are so good and just I just don't have time, especially now that I started playing Baldur's Gate 3. And
I was going to say, I saw you were on that. How do you like it?
It is one of the best games ever made. I can definitively say that without even getting to the review, my review, 5-hour review cap. So, if not the best, I think this is, I get Skyrim feels from this.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, like, it's a completely different type of game, you know, but like, just the level of do what you want sort of shit, and the way they've not only done that, but managed to make it all seamless with conversations. Like, I've been looking for a moment where I make a choice over here, and somebody refers to something that doesn't make sense because of that choice. It has not happened once. Not once. I cannot seem to trick the computer at all into a continuity error. Like not once. And that's what's blowing my fucking mind on this this game, personally.
So we hit a point recently where I have no idea, like, because there's so many different things to do.
Yeah.
I don't know which one to do first.
It's already. Yeah. And I'm only in Emerald Grove. I'm in the first little fucking area, and there's like
the druids and everything.
Yeah.
I'm that's like, where we are.
I'm like, holy shit, this is the like basically the tutorial area.
Yeah.
I haven't even gotten to Baldur's Gate, and there's 50 hours in front of me. Easy. Easy. And it's like, not only that, that's one of those moments where everybody, there's so many different factions in that little thing, and I end up talking to all of them, and that's when I've been waiting for like a continuity error. There hasn't been one. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been one. They all know what you've already done. I was so shocked that, like, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but there's a point where you can rescue a kid in a certain area. And I rescued that kid. And because I rescued that kid, it was like, I was like, okay, I rescued that kid, no big deal. Like, it'll matter to their faction. It matters to everybody. Everybody keeps mentioning it. I'm like, this game remembers everything.
Is it the little tiefling kid who stole something, like
no,
a relic or something?
No, that one was a good one too, but that was very obvious. There's another kid that you can rescue.
Down by the water?
Yep.
The harpies?
The harpies, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was my top moment of the game so far. And really the moment that I was like, I'm all in on this game. Because I walked out, I heard the singing, I went down to the cove, and I was just in this fight where, like, I wasn't particularly ready for it in any way. I hadn't short rested or anything, because I'm still getting the hang. Like, my biggest problem with it is D&D rules. It's not, like, it doesn't go by normal CRPG rules, and I'm playing it like Wasteland 3 or, like, Lamplighters League or another CRPG that I've played. This is, like, D&D, like framed as a CRPG, and I'm having a hard time getting used to that. I'm starting to get used to it, but I wasn't ready for this fight. I had used like half my spell slots, like just talking to animals. That's another thing. I'm playing a druid, and I was like, and I had this magic spell that was like talk to animals. I'm like, it's just going to be certain animals. No, you can talk to every goddamn animal in the game.
Every single.
Like, are you serious? They did voice work for every animal as well as people just in case one character class used one spell at one time? Like, the battle with the harpies, the attention to detail was... It blew me away because you go down there, one of the harpies starts singing, and it starts luring you. So the music of the battle becomes the harpies' song. And I knocked him out of concentration, right? I knocked one of the harpies out of concentration. So the normal battle music just seamlessly kicks in, and already I'm like, that's cool. But then another harpy started singing, and sure enough, it switched the music back. I was like, the attention to detail on this game is just second to none. Just second to none. I haven't seen craftsmanship on a game like this in 10 years. Easy. Like, this is just, even my most favorite games, they just don't equal this level of detail. Like, they really seem to have thought of everything. I only have a couple of cons, And most of the cons are honestly because it's either too detailed or nitpicky because I'm me.
The only thing that I have leveled against it that does kind of drive me crazy is if you want to get to an area you haven't been yet, at least on the PS5 version, you can put a ping on the map, but you can't see it on the mini map, or there's no like guide how to get there. You're just fumbling around trying to find where you're trying to go.
Yeah,
that's the one thing that's kind of sucked.
Okay, the things that I have been bothered by, if I gotta go negative on this, since this is gonna end up being a bonus or an opening at this point, but my biggest problems with it, A, is they really expect you to have already played Dungeons and Dragons. Not only do they expect you to have played Dungeons and Dragons, but they expect you to have played this game before. So, like, when I went into this game, I was like, I know I'm not going to know what the fuck's going on, because I know it's very heavy Dungeons and Dragons-y. So I clicked in tutorial, like tutorial pop-ups. Those pop-ups tell you jack and shit. Like, I've gotten, like, maybe, like, 6 or 7 of them in the game, and I'm still just... Like, there was a whole hour of the game that I just took because I was so confused, just going through things and reading menus upon submenus upon submenus to just figure out what the fuck was happening. Because not only do you have to understand games, but like if you play a CRPG, you use action points. Okay, that's how your characters move. This character has 3 action points. When it's that character's turn, they can take these actions with those action points. But this game goes by D&D rules, which means you get a normal action, a bonus action, and a movement action, period. Which I don't actually hate. In a lot of ways, I like that more than a CRPG, because I can always move, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's some things about it I like, but they don't tell you what it is. and they just kind of expect you to know that, like you've played Dungeons and Dragons before, and stuff like that. Like it was just very lack of informational in the first goings of the stage, and I was very lost, very lost, and just kind of trying to make stuff work, which was real difficult. There is a character who is very clearly a certain thing, and my character can't call that out. And what bothers me is my character, they give you dialogue options for your character to call out all sorts of other things, which I liked. Like, because, like, as a player, like, I would call out certain things if they looked a certain way. But, like, there's one character that's very clearly something, and, like, from the moment you meet him, you just see him, and you're like, oh, okay. But there's no dialogue option to be like, hey, are you maybe a vampire? Like, and that's really annoying. Like, he has puncture marks on the side of his neck. Puncture marks on his neck.
Oh, jeez.
Like, very clearly. And I'm like, why can't I say he's a vampire? Why can't I say he's a vampire? Like, you've gotten past the Shadowheart stuff, right?
No, I'll be honest. I try to avoid that bitch because I hate her.
Of course you do. Of course you do. So you didn't unlock her at all?
No, we have her in the party.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. You at least got her out, right?
Yeah, we have her. Okay, yeah.
So she has, like, a little puzzly box thing.
Yeah.
You can immediately call that out, you know what I mean? I didn't want to. But you can immediately call that out and say, hey, what's that little puzzly box thing? But then you meet another character, very clearly has puncture marks, red eyes and fangs, and I'm like, I can't say, hey, are you a vampire by chance? Like, why can't I call that out, game? Like, that's my only time in the game that I'm like, all right, that attention to details is working against itself, you know?
The one thing that drives me crazy about the combat that I've noticed is me being... having played D&D 5e and being pretty familiar with the rules, I'm playing a barbarian, so I can basically reckless attack if I want to to make it so I get a buff to my attack. Uh-huh. So if you're going to miss, it'll give you the option and say, hey, this person needs whatever to succeed. Do you want to do this thing?
Okay.
To make it so you can succeed. As a, just like a reaction.
Right.
But it prompts that to you one way or another, even if you do it and it's still not going to make a difference.
Mm.
Yeah. So me knowing that I'm only going to get a +2 in doing what I am going to do, and I miss by 5, I'm like, I don't even know why you're bothering asking.
Yeah, that is weird.
I regret playing a barbarian.
Oh,
to
yeah?
some degree. That said, I'm going wild magic route, multi-class whenever I get the chance to.
Okay, that was a lot of fun. I'm playing a druid. I was like, you know what? I want to turn into animals. So my first character, I decided to play a druid. And you don't get to turn into animals right off the bat, which kind of bummed me out. Like, you just get this magical shillelagh. I'm like, well, this sucks. The description says I could turn into shit. And then, like, I leveled
eventually.
Up. Well, it's just level 2. You hit level 2, and it's like, hey, here's all the things you could turn into. Have fun. And I have, man. There was a battle where I just kept shape-shifting. It's like, all right, I'm going to be a bear now. I'm going to fuck this guy up. Then I'm going to be a giant spider. I'm going to web this guy. Like, I love that shit. That was I've really been enjoying playing a druid. And then me and Phil are actually going to be doing a show out of it, because you know how obsessed with that game he is. We're both going to make characters separately of each other so that we don't know. So we
what
don't.
The other is doing.
We're not synergizing our builds at all. But even more so, we're going to half role play it. So we're going to do it like a tabletop. So, like, we're going to have plenty of talk and nerdiness, let's play stuff. But we're actually going to make up characters for our characters. And then we're going to role play our characters at certain points in the game, like talking to each other, so that we can, and we're not going to tell each other our backstories, but we're going to tell the audience. Like, we're going to walk away from the mics and tell the audience what our characters are. And then, so they know what we are, but we're not going to tell each other.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're like it was actually his idea was to kind of bring our TTRPG crowd and hopefully our gaming crowd kind of together. But yeah, so we're going to half actually role play it. So, which I was like, that's a really cool idea. It's almost like the game is game mastering for us. Like, I think that would be a really cool thing. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the show.